ready?
Welcome back to the Eating Like a Podcast. Joining us this time around, we have the special privilege of being joined by Food Network star, Emmy Award winning, and soon to be visitor to Hilton Head Island, the Seafood Festival, Cartier Brown. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us. You are a Charleston native.
I am.
Doing my research. You moved away, but you came back. How long were you gone?
I was only gone. Well, see, I was raised between Atlanta, Georgia. I left Charleston when I was about two or three years old.
Right.
And my mom raised me as a single parent between Charleston and Atlanta. We moved to Atlanta. Well, she moved to Atlanta for better job opportunities during that time in the early 90s. And my grandmother also helped raise me. And so I split most of my time. It was 50-50 between Atlanta, Georgia and back home in Charleston. And then as an adult, I went off to college in grad school in New Jersey, and then came back from New Jersey from grad school in about 2015. So I've been back home since then.
So you say home, clearly you had two options. Why did you choose Charleston?
Well, Charleston, you know, this is where my entire family is. And moving back to Atlanta didn't really make sense for what I was doing when I quit grad school and decided to work within the culinary world. And so being back, you know, in my deep roots, which is Charleston, South Carolina on the Sea Islands, was where I decided to, you know, create a life for myself as far as my adult life was concerned. And so, yes, Charleston was a no-brainer, especially with me starting my supper club, the New Gullah Supper Club back in those days. Charleston was just like the epicenter for what I wanted to do.
Do you remember the first moment or moments when you thought, I love cooking, this is what I want to do?
Absolutely. It's always been at like the center of my heart. Even working, my background is in social services and child welfare and things of that sort. But while I was doing that, because, you know, as you know, working, and as most people know, that working in social services can be very demanding and taxing. Yep. Mentally, physically. Mm-hmm. And so cooking has always been an outlet for me as far as like my therapeutic reason as to like, you know, therapeutic relief. And so I always knew that I said that I'm going to open my own nonprofit organization, but I'm going to also have my own restaurant. So that's something that I've always wanted to do. But, you know, just being raised in a household where education was paramount, and that's what you do. You go, you get a good education, you get a good job, and you retire. That's what was instilled in me. But being, I think I say being of the millennial generation and kind of like stepping out of that and saying, you know what, that's the blueprint for your life. That's not exactly what I want to do. So after working in social services, I kind of found that cooking was it made me happier. Like I loved doing what I did, and it was very rewarding, but it was, again, also very taxing. And so while working in social services and, you know, like the mid 2010s and things of that sort, I knew that cooking was where my heart really was.
And I would say, not to put words in your mouth, but the ability to make so many people happy with your food on a regular basis had to have been therapeutic, I'm sure.
It was. And that is that too, you know, like cooking is my love language. It's how I express my love to others. And when I see people excited and happy about the things that I've prepared, nothing compares.
Did you think when you said, I want to do this, that you would end up being fortunate enough to have, you know, the career that you have to this point?
Not at all.
Books, a restaurant, you know, Emmy Awards, all of this stuff. You just kind of put one foot in front of the other, and it all just kind of happened, huh?
It all fell into place. And I do believe in divine direction and timing. And, you know, because I said yes to myself, I think that everything else kind of followed, because I was like, I a very spiritual person. So I think that, you know, walking in your purpose and walking in, you know, your calling, it just opens the floodgates to things that you would never imagine. And I don't think our human brain is capable of really conspiring some of the things that we think we want to do. But, you know, I feel like the universe says, you know, every time we say, oh, I want to open my restaurant. And the universe is like, no, you want to win Emmys. So, you know, it just all fell into place. Like, I haven't really thought about any of these things happening. It was just like, hey, I love to cook and I love people. These things have just found me.
If you don't mind me drilling down on something you said a few minutes ago, you chose to say yes to yourself.
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
That means it's saying yes to the desires of my heart and not allowing, per se, like my family and everyone else to kind of dictate what I want, what they think is best for me. And so I believe you only get one life to live, and you have to do what you want to do in your heart of hearts, because, you know, there's no do-overs. And so while you're here, do what makes you happy. And so when you say yes to yourself, I truly believe the universe conspires to work in your favor. So that's what I lead with.
Fair enough. Did it all kind of come together fairly quickly, or were there some early moments where you thought, I don't know about this?
Oh, my God. there were tons of doubts and just like, I don't know if this is going to work out. But, you know, I always say that, you know, there's still a little mustard seed of faith that it could work out. And so I kind of hung on to that. You know, there were times where it got so hard and so dark and I couldn't see my way out, but I still held on to the notion of, like, you know, this is what I love to do. I would cook and I would, you know, interact with people regardless of getting paid or not. And so there was times of financial stress and physical stress with doing my supper clubs and pitching to the networks and getting no's. But, you know, even with that, I always thought that the no's would be a no, not right now, not a no, not forever. This is not going to happen. So I held on to the faith that something was going to work out even during those very dark and hard times.
Every no puts you closer to that yes.
Yes, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. And in many times, all you need is one yes for the opportunity to squirt through.
For
so
sure.
So your first cookbook is called The Way Home, and it was a collection of the recipes, I assume, of your childhood, upbringing, of your life, Gullah-inspired or Gullah-true recipes.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. It's a collection of recipes that were passed down to me and recipes that I kind of acquired over the years of doing my supper club and my pop-ups and my catering business and fan favorites from the first few seasons of Delicious Miss Brown. So it was a collection of all of that.
Very, very cool. Now, your latest one just came out a couple of months ago as we record this. It's called Make Do With What You Have. I chuckled when I saw that because I would have wanted to call it Knowing Southern Culture. I'm from Miami, but I've been in the South long enough to know that somebody would say, make do with what you got.
Yes. that's exactly how you say it. And my publisher was like, well, you know, grammatically speaking,
right,
it should
right.
be.
See, even I picked up on that.
Yes.
But it's called Make Do With What You Have. And it's a budget-friendly cookbook, correct?
Yes, it is. It's budget friendly. It doesn't really lead with that. It's more so finding the creativity of the things that you already have in your house. There's oftentimes we go grocery shopping and we buy, you know, bulk things, and it depends on the size of your family. You go and you do your grocery haul maybe once every 2 weeks or so, and you have all these things in your refrigerator, and then you somehow end up still going out to eat or looking in your fridge and your pantry and saying, there's nothing in here. And while, you know, you don't see anything that's in there, but I want to help you see your refrigerator and your pantry in a more creative way and really make use of the things that you're able to afford at home. Because as we all know, I mean, the grocery prices are insane. Going out to eat is an entire, I feel like, Olympic sport sometimes with all the taxes and all the things that you're paying for just for a simple meal, when you can kind of, you know, avoid all of those things by making delicious meals at home. So yes, it's budget friendly, but also just showing people creative ways to make use of groceries that they are already have in their home.
We are all guilty of walking up to the fridge, opening the door and saying, I got a refrigerator full of nothing to eat.
Yes. That is exactly right. And growing up in a household with my mom as a single parent, you know, she worked very hard to make ends meet for us. And I, as a child, I didn't appreciate when she would say, you know, we have McDonald's at home, or, you know, there's food. Like, that's not McDonald's, Mom. Like, McDonald's right. is a burger, fries, right. a kid's meal with a toy. You know, okra stew in the refrigerator is not my, right. it's not my, you know, example of a McDonald's meal. But as an adult now, I can appreciate being able to walk up to my refrigerator and open it and not say that we don't have anything in here. But okay, I see I have some sausage. I have, you know, maybe, you know, some beans in the cabinet. Oh, I can make red beans and rice. You know, seeing things like that instead of just saying we don't have anything because you don't want to take the time out to really figure a meal out. So I kind of take the guessing out of it and help you kind of decide what to make with the things you already have.
Very good. Very good. Now you are coming down to the Hilton Head Seafood Festival.
Yes,
I am. You're doing a cooking demo and a class, if you will, on Friday, February 27th. That'll be at 2:30 at the Omni. Anyone who's interested in participating, or I should say attending that, because there won't be any actual cooking. You're doing the cooking. What can anyone expect who will be attending that event?
Oh, it's good. I mean, I always have tons of fun with my demos. If anyone has ever been to South Beach Food and Wine Festival, you know, I've made a name for myself for having really fun and interactive demos where I pull people in, and I know the event organizers always get on me about it, and they just forget about it. I've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now, and they always get on me because I pull participants up from the crowd and I bring them on stage with me and they cook with me. And so you can look forward to some interaction. Also tons of storytelling. The thing about Gullah Geechee cuisine, it's not just something that, you know, oh, you just throw this together and it's, you know, your typical, you know, class instructional type of thing. No, it's, you know, there's storytelling, there's a why, and there are, you know, plenty of family connections to the things and the reasons why I cook the way that I do. So you can expect to hear that, you know, lots of storytelling, lots of fun, and just, you know, a very informal time.
Very good. Very good. You have one restaurant that's at the airport, correct?
Correct. At the Charleston International Airport.
Very good. If anyone cannot get to the Hilton Head Seafood Festival and would like to enjoy some of your food, that is the place to do it. Now, you've mentioned Supper Club a couple of two, three times here. Do you still
yes.
do a Supper Club?
I don't do my supper club as often as I used to. I do pop-ups here and there with special requests.
Gotcha.
But I am thinking about bringing it back out for, you know, a special, you know, maybe weekend only. But for as of now, I don't. But I think I'm going to do a reemerging of it.
Gotcha. Sounds like fun. Well, are you going to be able to, are you going to come down here for a few days to be able to enjoy Hilton Head Island?
Absolutely. I haven't been to Hilton Head in so long. You know, it's right up the road from me, but I haven't been since there. I've heard about all of the beautiful changes. I remember growing up and going to Hilton Head as a kid, and my grandmother had a timeshare out there, and we would go for like our holiday vacations and stuff like that. And so I'm always not near Beaufort and other places, but I haven't had a chance to spend some time in Hilton Head in a while. So I'm definitely going to utilize that time to like relive my childhood and see all of the things that have changed with Hilton Head since then.
Very good. Very good. Well, it'll be a good time. I'll be there all week. I'm sure. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you there. I'll probably be at your cooking demo. Sounds like it's going to be
awesome.
Fun. Very good. So the cookbook, your latest cookbook is called Make Do With What You Have.
Yes.
You can find that, I assume, on Amazon or any other place you buy books.
Absolutely. Anywhere cookbooks are sold, my cookbook should be there.
Very good. Very good. Cartier Brown, Food Network star, Emmy Award winning, and presenting chef at the Hilton Head Seafood Festival. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We'll see you soon.
Are you ready?